The text for today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is the text of Pentecost. And you may recall in chapter 1, Jesus instructed the disciples to return to Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit to come to them. And so this is what follows those instructions. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the whole entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. God, I thank you for your word, which offers us encouragement and challenges. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In most of our homes, communication is one of the hardest things that we can do. Too often, what we say with our words is a very different message from what others hear. We can easily become, accuse them of not listening to us, and we can get into some nasty arguments at times about what we may think should be a simple conversation. How in the world could communication be so difficult when supposedly we speak the same language? When you consider that only 8% of what we communicate is done with words, the other 92% is transmitted through nonverbal cues and signals, such as our tone, volume, loud or soft, facial expressions, body language, gestures, eye contact, or not. All of these things communicate much more than our words. It isn't so much what we say with our words that matters, it's how we say what we say. This week, we have witnessed a different kind of language here in Minneapolis. We've had riots, and they've also occurred in other cities around the world, or around the country. Martin Luther King Jr. said that riots are the language of the unheard. They are a sign of desperation, hopelessness, and powerlessness. King also describes power as the ability to effect change. Brené Brown writes, "If we question our need for power, think about this. How do you feel when you believe that you are powerless to change something in your life?" She goes on to say, "Powerlessness is dangerous." For most of us, the inability to effect change is a desperate kind of feeling. We need resilience and hope in a spirit that can carry us through our doubts and our fears. We need to believe that we can effect change if we want to live and love with our whole hearts. When we cannot effect change in our situation, when we feel powerless, that is a desperate kind of feeling. Blacks in our country have been oppressed for over 400 years, and we white privileged folks still have a hard time hearing their voices as they cry out, I can't breathe. Rioting is the voice of the unheard. It's the language of desperation, hopelessness, powerlessness. It's the result of feeling unable to effect real change in their lives. Systemic racism holds them down like a knee on their necks. The trouble is, most of us white folk don't see it, hear it, or recognize it. But with the deaths of Ahmaud Arbery, killed while jogging by two white vigilantes in Georgia, Breonna Taylor, an EMT in Louisville, killed in her bed by police who crashed into the wrong apartment looking for drugs, and George Floyd, killed by police early this week as he cried out, I can't breathe, and they ignored his pleas and the pleas of bystanders who were watching it all happen. Then there was the Black Bird Watcher in New York Central Park, who politely asked a white woman to leash her dog in a leash-only area of the park. And she looked at him and said, I'm going to call the police, saying that I have been threatened by a black man. And she did. He was not threatening her. But because she was white and felt more powerful than the black man, she called 911. As white privileged Americans, we need to listen to the language and the angst of our minority brothers and sisters. This whole week has confronted me with the reality that racism is insidious in white culture. We're good people. We mean well. But when we fail to stand up and speak up, when we see injustice, we are complicit in it. So we need to open our eyes and ears so that we can see and hear the cries of the oppressed in our midst, because they are here. The Pentecost experience in Acts 2 was about the transformation, about the disciples from timid, fearful, powerless people into a courageous band who were able to communicate God's love and grace as demonstrated in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection with people from all around the known world at that time. They found a way of connecting with people who were different than they. And Pentecost was a coming together of people of all nations and a recognition that in the kingdom of God, there are no favored nations. In Christ, theoretically, and at least, we are united as one. Still, we have our cultural baggage that comes along with us, and it limits our ability to respond to others who come from different places. And that's where we need the Spirit to touch us, to fill us, to empower us to learn the language of those around us. We need the Spirit to fill us so that we can listen and learn, and only then will we be able to communicate with them. Jesus taught us that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Gerhard Frost wrote, love is the capacity to get into other people's skins, not under their skin, mind you, but to get into other people's skins. It's the readiness to see through other people's eyes by putting oneself in their place, in their shoes. Love's first work is to listen, to love one another, is to want to know one another. It's to have patience to listen. The text in Acts is about how the disciples were able to communicate with people from around the world in their own languages so that they could hear the message about Jesus. But I think it had to be or become more than just the disciples talking and preaching at them and telling a story, because a story that doesn't connect on a personal level is really just a story. The transformation that took place was about a deeper connection than merely hearing a story. And it developed into a larger community, which we see at the end of the chapter, where they shared all things in common and they gave to everyone as they had need. They prayed and ate together. They shared life together. There was a common bond that they shared. It seems to me that at least one of the messages of Pentecost is that the coming together of diverse people and becoming a community of shared values. But for diverse people to come together and build a community, they need to listen and understand each other. We need to listen to the cries of the unheard. And I think that will take some working of the Holy Spirit to open our ears and to hear and our eyes to see the injustice that is around us. And then to move us to act, to change the current systems that continue to oppress. Those of you who have listened to my view from here on Facebook know that I've been struggling all week with the pain and anguish that I have seen in the Black community. I have felt rather helpless and just overwhelmed and beyond words. Saturday, I was encouraged by all of the posts of people who had come to help clean up, bringing brooms and mops, dustpans, bags to sweep up the broken glass and bottles and cans, whatever. Hundreds of people came to do those tasks. Our home church in Minnetonka collected at least 2 pickup truckloads full of food and other non-perishable and personal items that were brought down to the affected area in South Minneapolis. And many other churches did the same thing. If riots are the language of the unheard, let us pray that God's Spirit would enable us today to learn to hear what they are trying to tell us, so that they will know that they are heard. And I think that will take a new Pentecostal moment in a new age. May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. God, you hear the cries of your people crying out in anguish and desperation, wanting to be heard. And so oftentimes we, in our comfort of our safe places, we don't hear, we don't see, and we don't know. Help us to listen to the cries of those around us. And help us to have courage to respond in some way beyond platitudes, that we might show some compassion and understanding to their grief and to their angst. Now go forth into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. That concludes our Zoom worship for today.